ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد my brothers and sisters first of all ramadan kareem ramadan mubarak to all of you this incidentally alhamdulillah biiznillah ta'ala is the 10th ramadan in this masjid so we started taraweeh 10 years ago this is the 10th year and of course many things have happened in this masjid but the thing that I am happiest about that gives me the greatest of satisfaction and for which all of you are responsible is the fact that this is a masjid which inshallah almustaan is a example of the ummah as it should be a masjid which is completely free from every ikhtilaf of every kind there is no ikhtilaf of maslak there is no ikhtilaf of mazhab there is no ikhtilaf there is no conflict of any kind alhamdulillah we treat each other with respect we treat each other with love and we have our differences of opinion we have our differences of what we consider more important or less important but in the masjid alhamdulillah we all behave with each other inshallah as brothers are supposed to behave and this is entirely and completely your fault I refuse to take any blame for this so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in keeping with his majesty and grace and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause this brotherhood to remain the way it is as long as this masjid is established on the earth alhamdulillah this masjid we welcome everyone from every maslak every madhab we welcome Shia we welcome Sunni we welcome Hanafi Barelvi Deobandi Salafi this fee that fee everybody so alhamdulillah we and all of them we welcome them without a fee sorry that's a lousy pun but anyway so the point is that this is what we should have and alhamdulillah this is what we have and you are all responsible for this jazakumullahu khairan may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and increase you in worth and value and may your deeds weigh heavy on the scales on the day of judgment when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu my request to you is that I'm sure you will maintain this in this masjid but carry this message with you wherever you go in the world that this is how masajid should be a masjid is not a place for conflict a masjid is not a battleground A masjid is not somewhere for someone to prove that he is superior to somebody else. A masjid is not a place where somebody is supposed to put a board outside and say that this is a masjid of this sect of people. Which means other people from any other school of law or school of understanding or school of learning are not welcome. This is not a masjid, it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who is an abd of Allah, anyone who is a slave of Allah who is a slave of Allah any human being who is living and breathing is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even if he is not a muslim he is still a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single person is welcome in the house of Allah any house of Allah which puts a notice preventing some people from coming inside is not a house of Allah it is a house of those people and therefore it has no sanctity then it's not a masjid it's your house You're welcome to invite anybody or not invite anybody. That's not a problem. But don't call it a masjid because it cannot be a masjid. A masjid is only a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And like the earth is free for anyone to live in and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them rizq even when they are not worshipping him, so also a masjid is free for anyone to come. Just ask yourself this question that if a person who is not a Muslim wants to learn about Allah, and you say a Hindu or a Sikh or a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist cannot enter a masjid, then where must he go? He wants to learn about Allah and you put a restriction to say that only this masjid is meant only for Muslims or only for Shia or only for Sunnis and only for Salafis and only for Deobandis or only for Barelvis. If you put these classifications, then where must a person who wants to know about Islam, where should he go? He cannot come to the house of Allah. You want him to go where? To learn about Islam. This is haram. This is completely and totally haram. It is completely and totally against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid in his lifetime and thereafter was open to everyone and anyone. Whoever wanted to come, they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is where he met them. His masjid was his office. The Christian priest's delegation from Najran, where did they meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? In Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. They stayed there for 3 days. Where did they stay? In Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. Not only did they meet him, they stayed there. Where did they eat? From the house of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was their host and he provided them with meals. I can give you many examples. I think this is more than enough. And as I said, please read the seerah. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world. And He sent us into it with instructions of how to administer it. He sent His Anbiya alayhim salam to teach us by word and deed. And to demonstrate for us what He expects from us. He sent His books of guidance, the last of which is the Quran al-Kareem, which was given to the last of the Anbiya and Rusul, their leader and Imam, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Imamul Anbiya, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This Kitab and the Anbiya, they came in order to teach us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to teach us, mentioned incidents from the lives of different Anbiya. One of the greatest of whom is Ibrahim alayhi salam, after whom the Surah Ibrahim is named. Ibrahim alayhi salam is distinguished by the fact that he obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. He did that because he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not blind obedience, it is obedience with knowledge. He did that because he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and had this relationship with him. The relationship of being the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic there are many words to describe friend. There is Zamil, there is Khalil, there is Wali, right? There is Sadiq, many words. But Khalil and the state of Khullah is the closest in those terms. Now when we say friend, and you will find that the translations are done Khalilullah as friend of Allah, we must be very careful with this kind of a translation. There is no friend of Allah. Khalilullah, the term Khalil with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the slave who is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah has called and chosen as His personal slave. Friendship implies equality. There is no equality between the Rabb and the Abd, between the Khaliq and the Makhluq. And even the Anbiya alayhimus salam, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Khalilullah means the Khalil of Allah in a way that suits the grace and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. It's the greatest honor that a human being can have, but Ibrahim alayhi salam was a human being. And that is something that one must understand when we read this terminology in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam's tendency to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question and said in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Rabb said to him, submit, he said, I have submitted myself to the Rabb of the Alameen, of all that exists. Allah said, submit. He said, I have submitted. He did not say, I will submit. I am going to submit. Let me think about it. This is our response. Let me think about it. If it makes sense to me, I will submit. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Aslim, qala aslamtu. Is qala lahu rabbuhu aslim? قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore said about his relationship Jalla Jalaluhu with Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And who can be better in religion? And which religion can be better than the one who submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he is a muhsin. He does good at a level of excellence to earn Allah's pleasure alone and follows the religion of Ibrahim, who was Hanifa, who was a person who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any partners. So don't read this and say Ibrahim alayhi salam therefore was Hanafi. He says, Ibrahim al-Hanifa, he did not say Ibrahim al-Hanafi. And Allah did take Ibrahim as a Khalil, as his closest slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, we are in the month of Ramadan al-Kareem, and it is especially important to remind ourselves about the importance of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ramadan in order to inculcate obedience in us and to make us muttaqoon. And it is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, whose life earned him honor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam to take his wife Hajar alayhi salam and their infant son Ismail alayhi salam and leave them in the valley of Makkah near the place which was to become the site of his sacred house, the Kaaba. We all know the story as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated that to us. After Ibrahim alayhi salam left his wife and infant son and reached a place where his wife could not see him, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and made this dua. It is a very beautiful dua, but it's also an amazing dua. Put yourself in the place of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's a mercy Allah does not put us to such tests. But just for the sake of understanding this or trying to understand it, put yourself in his place and ask yourself, what would you ask for? You just left your wife and infant son in a place where there is nothing. It's a barren desert valley. There is no vegetation, there is no water, there is nothing, there are no people, there is no village. What dua will you make? Maybe you must ask, what would you give greater importance to? Safety, security, food, shelter, relationship with people, prayer. Maybe in that order. With safety and security first and prayer later. And you might say, well, you know, if they are not even alive, how will they pray? So we need safety and security first and then we need prayer. I mean, we have all our stuff is very logical. Until we look at the kalam of Allah and then we realize that our logic is based on faulty fundamentals, and therefore it is not logical at all. It sounds logical, seems logical. Shaitan gave a logic when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make sujood. He did not say, I will not obey you, I don't like your... No, he gave a logic. What logic did he give? He said, khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. So fire is superior to clay. So there is a logic. But that is the logic of Iblis which landed him in the hellfire. So don't get fooled by this logic. Logic must be based on the fundamentals of the divine revelation if that logic is to make sense. Otherwise, logic may sound like logic, but it's nonsense. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam is in this situation, he is making dua. See his logic, because this is the logic of the Nabi. This is the logic of the one who receives wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the logic of Khalilullah who knows his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. This is the logic of the man who sat in the cup of the trebuchet and was fired into the fire. This is the logic of the man who asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you give life to something which is dead? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him, you know, get those birds and all of that. I won't go into the story. Subhanallah, each one of them is a story which is worth reflecting on and so on. And there's a series of lectures of mine on the lives of the Anbiya, so you can listen to those. So here is this logic of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What is he saying? He is saying, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. See this logic. He says, O our Rabb, I have made some of my family dwell in an uncultivable valley by your sacred house, the Kaaba, in order, O our Rabb, that they may establish salah, iqamati salah. So fill some hearts among people with love towards them and provide them with fruits, with rewards, so that they may give thanks. We look at this dua and the logic of this in detail in a couple of minutes. But first, see the adab of asking. He did not say, I left them there because you told me to do that. Which is a fact. Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't suddenly wake up one day and say, well, I think this is a good idea, let me do that. No. This is wahi that he received. But when he is making dua, he is not saying, Ya Allah, you only told me to do this, now look after them. No. This is the adab of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, I left them there. He said, he did not say, I left them because you told me, as if blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for instructions which otherwise he would not have done. He said, I have made some of my family dwell in an uncultivable valley. This was the nature of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him, Inna Ibrahima la awwahun halim. He said, verily, Ibrahim is very tender hearted and very merciful. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what is he praising him for? He's praising him for his softness, for his tender heartedness, for his mercy, for his kindness, for his forgiveness. The adab of Ibrahim alayhi salam is visible in another place in the Quran. In Surah Ash-Shura, Ibrahim alayhi salam is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his relationship with himself. And you can see the nature of his relationship with Allah, which is rooted in adab and ita'at, in respect and in obedience. In Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who said, Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen, walladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yasqeen, wa idha maridtu fahuwa yashfeen, walladhi yumituni thumma yuhyeen, walladhi yatma'u an yaghfira li khati'ati yawma ad-deen. He says, he is Allah who created me, and it is he who guides me, and it is he who feeds me and gives me to drink, and when I am ill, it is he who cures me, and he is the one who will cause me to die and then will bring me back to life again, and he is the one who I hope will forgive me my faults on the day of judgment. See the adab in these ayat. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, he created me and he guides me. He feeds me and he gives me drink. But he did not say he makes me sick and cures me. Ajeeb, huh? Isn't that the fact? Where does sickness come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's saying he created me and he guides me. He feeds me and he gives me drink. He makes me sick and he makes me well. He could have said this. He doesn't say that. He said when I am sick, he cures me. Huh? Ajeeb. He said, when I am sick, he cures me. This is the adab of the Nabi alayhi salam. And then he says, he will cause me to die and he will resurrect me and I hope he will forgive me. Khalilullah. Khalilullah. If anyone had a right to be confident that Allah will forgive me, it is these people. Huh? It is these people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, he says that people will enter Jannah only by the mercy of Allah. She says, Ya Rasulullah, even you? He says, even me. Not because of your great deeds and all the charity and all your fasting and hajj and, you know, whatever. No, he says you will enter Jannah by the mercy of Allah. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, then what is the value of the deeds? If you are going to enter Jannah because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then should we do good or not? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, you should continue to do good because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depends on your good. And secondly, these deeds of yours will give you darajat in Jannah. They will not make you enter Jannah. The entering Jannah is the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. But in the Jannah, the levels of Jannah, you will get based on your deeds. So if you listen to 8 rakat of Tarawih, you get a certain level. If you listen to 20 rakat of Tarawih, you get a different level. Huh? My brothers and sisters, unfortunately today we live in a state of total absence of adab. We have no idea how to talk to our elders, to our parents, to our teachers. Thus we have a society which is totally transactional. You are good as long as you agree with me. If not, I will speak to you any way I like, totally forgetting who I am addressing. This is the generation which is raising the next. You can imagine what that means. All power to you, for this is your bed in which you will lie one day. If you don't learn adab, and if you don't teach adab to your children, be prepared to be humiliated by your children one day. And know that it is not their fault but yours, because you did not teach them what adab is. Adab begins with the itaat of Allah, with obedience to Allah, and with the following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah of the Anbiya. If you do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will cause your humiliation to be established in the hearts of people. If you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will cause your respect and love to be established in the hearts of people. So instead of chasing people and popularity, which is what we do, become obedient to Allah, and people and popularity will chase you. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and it is this great Rasul and Allah's Khalil who made this dua. So let us see what his priorities are and reflect on whether this applies to us even today as we live and as we speak. Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned three priorities. First one, establishing of salah. Second one, akhlaq and huququl ibad, which will result in people being inclined towards and respecting and loving us. And third is fruits of our labor with the barakah of Allah. So let us see the priorities. The first one is, he said, I have put them there, I have established them, I have made them dwell there in order that they establish salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for His worship. And that is the root of all goodness. Worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to Him alone. So that is the first thing that Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah for. He said, I have settled them there so that they will establish your worship. The priority of the Anbiya and all those who follow them in Ihsan is always worship. Yaqub alayhi salam, in his last moments of life, what did he ask his children? Now this is the Nabi is passing away, last moments of his life, he is making wasiyat to his children. What is he asking them? What is the sawal? What is the question he is asking them? What is he saying to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, Am kuntum shuhada'a iz hadara Yaqub al-mautu iz qala li banihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di. قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون. Or were you witness when death approached Jacob, when he said to his sons, what will you worship after me? Single question. He's not asking what will happen, your career, where will you go, what, nothing. What will you worship after me? And they said, we will worship your God, your Ilah Allah, and the Ilah of your fathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq. One Ilah, La ilaha illallah, and to Him we submit, wa nahnu lahu muslimun, and we are Muslims. So let us ask, what is our priority with respect to our children? Is it the worship of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or is it the benefit of the dunya? There's nothing wrong about the dunya. Ibrahim alayhi salam also asked for it. I'm talking about the priority. If you say that it is the worship of Allah, if you say that you are like Ibrahim alayhi salam and therefore your first priority with your children is the worship of Allah, then tell me how is it that your children, they can't even be called children, biologically they are, but they're not children, in their 20s and 30s cannot wake up for Fajr, cannot call the Iqama correctly. How many times when I stand here to lead Salah and ask somebody to call the Iqama? And you get all kinds of fusions. You listen to the Salah, you have gone for Salah in the masjid so many times, you still cannot call the Iqama correctly. And you are 20 years old, 30 years old, God knows how many years old. Your 20s and 30 year old children cannot recite Suratul Fatiha correctly, which is a rukun of Salah. If he is making mistakes in Suratul Fatiha, his Salah is invalid. Let alone do a Jummah, let alone lead a Salatul Fajr which requires a longer recitation, or let alone lead your own Salatul Janaza. Forgive me for saying that you have children who cannot read your own Salatul Janaza. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. How long does it take to learn how to do Salatul Janaza? 5 minutes. 5 minutes. You don't have 5 minutes for the tarbiyah of your children to teach them how to lead your own Salatul Janaza. So your Salatul Janaza is led by a stranger who has no connection with you, whereas your own son, who would have wept for you, who would have cried for you, who loved you because you were the mother or the father, does not know what to do. And he does not know what to do because you never taught him. And of course, if he's 20 or 30 years old, he should have had the sense to learn on his own, even if you didn't teach him. So if you say that Ibrahim alayhi salam's priority was salah first, which means worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, which means all that goes with that, what is your priority in this case? Ask yourself if your children know how to do ghusl. How to do ghusl. How long does it take to know the faraid of ghusl? 20 seconds. 20 seconds. You do not have the time to teach them 20 seconds worth of knowledge, and you live your whole life and they live their whole life in a state without tahara. Without tahara, no salah is valid. No amal is valid. You are in a great hurry to get them married. You spend all kinds of haram money on that marriage, but you do not teach them what must be done after the husband and the wife have had a relationship. So they live their entire lives in a state of najasat. Ask yourself if they know how to recite the Quran properly. By properly, I don't mean qirat in terms of tune. I mean tajweed of Quran. How long does it take to learn the usul of tajweed? Maximum 1 week. And 1 week is not 1 week meaning 40 hours. 1 week meaning 7 hours. 1 hour a day, 1 week. I can go on, but I won't. I think the point is made. And so therefore ask yourself, why not? Why do we not have these priorities? My brothers and sisters, when are we going to change ourselves? Seriously, let us ask ourselves this question. Ibrahim alayhi salam knew that the first priority is to fulfill the purpose of our creation, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the key to the treasures of Allah. The one who learns that needs nothing else. Whatever he wants, he will ask Allah and Allah will give him. And so that is what Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah for, to help his family to establish salah and fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huququllah. The second thing he asked, the next priority was to fulfill the rights of people. So he said, fill some hearts of people with love towards them. My brothers and sisters, I submit to you that love is a reaction. The cause of love is compassion, fulfilling rights, kindness, good manners. Find me one person in the world who is compassionate, fulfills the rights of people, is hospitable, is kind, is humble, and who goes out of his way to help people, but is not loved and not respected. Is that possible? Impossible. Find me the opposite. Somebody who is arrogant and hostile and bad-mannered but he is loved. I'm not talking about a show of love. This can be forced. I'm saying love in the heart. Love and respect follow naturally from our actions. When these actions are in accordance with the orders of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love and respect from the people is a result of this life. Love and respect means influence. It means leadership. It means honor and prestige. All given willingly, not enforced. The third thing that Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, he said, provide them fruits so that they may give thanks. He said, thamarat. He did not say fakiha. Fruits not as in apples and bananas. He's talking about the rewards of deeds, fruits of labor. Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking for barakah in work with its reward in material terms. Nothing wrong with the dunya, provided you take it in the way it is meant to be taken. Not when you turn it upside down and you give dunya first and then leave the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somewhere behind and the rights of the people. Well, that is what you violate in order to make dunya. This is our life today. So he asked him for barakah in the work and reward in material terms. And that, he says, is so that they will give thanks to Allah. Not so that they will become arrogant and ostentatious and show off, but they become humble and they become thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he gave them. That is the essence of worship, and so the loop is closed. It starts with the worship of Allah, obedience to him, which results in power and influence, and the love and respect of people, which results in wealth and material benefits, which the slave then thanks Allah for, which is worship. These are the priorities in life that Allah showed us and that we need to make for ourselves. Let us ask ourselves if we are doing this. Then let us change our lifestyles to reflect what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us so that we can benefit in this world and the next. We are in the month of Ramadan, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he sent this month in order that we become muttaqoon. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon. Taqwa is the prerequisite for hidayat, for guidance. Taqwa is the state in which the slave's only concern is the pleasure of Allah. It is that state where the slave is afraid of displeasing the one he loves above all else, which is Allah. Taqwa is a sign of the love of Allah and of closeness to him. Anyone who disobeys Allah knowingly cannot claim to love Allah and so cannot be a muttaqi. Anyone who goes against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam deliberately cannot claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Say to them who claim to love me, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow and make your ittiba. And then Allah will love you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. And he is the most merciful and the most forgiving. My brothers and sisters, please note that all the promises of Allah are for the muttaqoon. And it is to help us to get into this state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us Ramadan. Ibrahim alayhi salam is an example of a muttaqi par excellence who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised and honored and quoted for us to follow. I have described for you Ibrahim alayhi salam's priorities. Let us examine our own and ask if we want the keys to Allah's treasure, if we want the keys to honor and to love and respect of the people, and to material success and influence in this dunya, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and mercy in the akhirah. If the answer is yes, then we know what to do. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.